On today's edition of Locked On LSU, we'll look ahead, some personnel updates for the Auburn game, but we'll also look back to New Mexico. I'll give out my game balls, offense, defense, and special teams for the New Mexico game, plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, we're on YouTube as well. And I also want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Upside. Download the free Upside app and use promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. I'm Caroline Fenton, and I'm your host, as I am every day. I'm an LSU grad. I've been covering the LSU football team since 2016, and I now host a sports talk radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, on today's edition of Locked On LSU, I do want to look ahead. Brian Kelly spoke with the media earlier this week, provided some personnel updates for the Auburn game. I want to break those down, plus some news that we heard about a game coming up next week with LSU. But before we do that, I want to take a look back, because after every game, I want to give up my game balls. The players in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, the players that I think deserve a little bit more recognition. So we'll get into that first before we take a look ahead. Now on offense, it was kind of difficult to give out some game balls on offense. Actually, to be honest with y'all, it was difficult to pick just one player in particular on offense and defense, just because I thought offense and defense had a pretty solid game. Of course, it's against New Mexico, so you're going to have more players shine whenever you're going up against at least a lesser opponent. But I have three game balls to give out on offense, one position group and then one individual player. But I want to give an offensive game ball to the run game, and that's Armoni Goodwin and Noah Cain. Armoni Goodwin had 8 rushes, 24 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the day. Noah Cain led the team in rushing yards, 11 rushes, 94 yards, and also added 2 touchdowns on. He was the team's leading rusher that day. He had that popped off for that big 49-yard run against New Mexico. So between Armoni Goodwin and Noah Cain, they accounted for 4 touchdowns on the night. I thought the run game, while the run game for LSU has looked solid all season long, Jaden Daniels has been a big contributor to that. But this game, it was really good to see the running backs get a majority of the work in the run game. And that's no knock on Jaden Daniels whatsoever, but I mentioned this on yesterday's podcast. I said, you know, Jaden Daniels isn't particularly a large guy. And, you know, if LSU is left with Garrett Nussmeier to be the starting quarterback, if Jaden Daniels does get hurt, I think this team is in kind of a bad spot. And that's no disrespect to Garrett Nussmeier. I think we saw that he needs a little bit more work. We saw that against Southern when he came in. And also we did see him against New Mexico, and he looked much, much, much improved. So that was good to see. But overall, I wanted to see the running backs take majority of the run game, just to give Jaden Daniels, one, some reprieve, and two, protect him a little bit more. So it was great to see Armoni Goodwin and Noah Cain, and of course, John Emery Jr., get him back into the mix and allow him to get a good bit of carries. But just, you know, the scoring stats alone, Armoni Goodwin and Noah Cain get a game ball. But I mentioned him already, and I think he deserves a game ball as well, not just for what he did on the field, but also for what I've seen him do on the field week after week after week, and that's Jaden Daniels. I mean, he didn't do anything crazy or spectacular on Saturday night. He was 24 of 29, solid completion percentage, for almost 280 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Not a super sexy stat line, but that's okay. That is okay with me, because Jaden Daniels is taking care of the football and he's making big plays a majority whenever they need them. I mentioned on yesterday's podcast that second and third drive when LSU had to settle for 2 field goals, one they made, one they did not. And, you know, Jaden Daniels and also these receivers, it falls on the receivers as well. The work in the red zone needs some tweaking, needs some fine tuning to get into the end zone. But I thought Jaden Daniels, week over week over week, has started to look more confident, more comfortable. And it's good to see Jaden Daniels kind of settle in this role and stay back in the pocket whenever he could. So Jaden Daniels, also gets an offensive game ball. But I mentioned how I've seen Jaden Daniels be able to, you know, kind of grow and mature a little bit into the starting role. But I'm not the only one. This is Brian Kelly on kind of what he's seen from Jaden Daniels from week one to week four, so on and so forth.
There are a couple things. Decisiveness is starting to be part of the vocabulary instead of being hesitant, and that comes with knowledge of the offense. I think the other thing is that he has become a lot quicker in his setup. I think I mentioned this quick feet, but slowing down and not rushing through progressions. I think one of the bigger plays in his development was the dig that he threw to Dre Jenkins in the red zone. That was his fourth receiver through a progression. Those are the kind of things you're looking for in terms of development of a quarterback, and we're starting to see that, as well as you know, the screen Malik Nabers, how quickly that ball comes out. So I think a little bit of everything was coming together, and the word I would use is just he's becoming more comfortable and more decisive.
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels is making those necessary changes. You know, and Brian Kelly mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. He said he needs to speed up his feet and slow down his thought process, just to take a little bit of time to breathe, but also kind of stay on the move. That's why up-tempo works so well, I believe, for this offense and for Jaden Daniels himself, is because he works so much better whenever his feet are on the move and whenever he can make those quick decisions. But he also feels equipped and confident enough to slow down and take his progressions and keep an up-tempo offense while also not overwhelming himself. And it feels like a little bit of an oxymoron, but I understand what Brian Kelly is saying, where you got to slow down the thought process and keep the feet moving. So Jaden Daniels is settling into that starting quarterback role very nicely. Now, I want to get into defense next. So special teams. We'll get into special teams. Damian Ramos did miss a field goal. And although that's, you know, that wasn't the difference of the game, I always say this, if it wasn't the difference of the game against Southern, against New Mexico, against Mississippi State, that doesn't mean it won't be the difference in the game against Auburn this upcoming week or Tennessee next week. You always have to get those gimmies. Damian Ramos missed a field goal from 38 yards. You have to make those kicks because that very well could have been a game that was decided by 3 points. And that missed field goal ends up looking really, really inopportune. And we've seen it so many times with LSU and other teams that we watch across college football. You miss a kick, you miss an extra point, so on and so forth. Those points are very, very valuable. Let's look at Florida State game, for example. That field goal doesn't get blocked and that field goal goes through the uprights. That's the difference of the game right there. So Damian Ramos does not get my special teams ball just because he needs to be making those kicks. But instead, I'm giving a special teams ball to Jack Besh because he had that punt return to the end zone for a touchdown. Now, that got called back. And you could say, okay, well, if there wasn't that block in the back, maybe that defender stops Jack Besh and he doesn't get a 100-yard punt return, whatever it was. He doesn't get a punt return for a touchdown and, you know, it would be a completely different story. Maybe so. I don't know. But the block in the back wasn't on Jack Besh, and Jack Besh looked incredibly confident and quick and healthy, which is the important thing since he's been dealing with injury. So I give Jack Besh my special teams ball for something that didn't stand. That was not even a contribution to the end of this game, but Jack Besh looked like a really, really strong punt returner. And special teams has been an issue for this team over the past few weeks. We saw it week one against Florida State, and we saw it kind of rear its ugly head against Mississippi State as well. Again, wasn't the difference in the game, but I always say you got to get those gimmies, and special teams offer you up those gimmies. So Jack Besh gets my special teams ball. Maybe that's not fair because it didn't even count, but he does. But coming up next, I'm going to get into my defensive game ball because there is so much to break down about this defense. So we'll get into that coming up next. But first, I want to tell you about the Upside app. So I know so many times when I go out to dinner or when I go to fill up my gas tank, the check or, you know, the number in front of me looking at the gas pump is so much higher than what I'm used to. It kind of hurts a little bit. It makes me cringe because inflation is hitting all of us where it hurts, and it really hurts. So that's why I started using Upside. I have this philosophy that I'm not going to spend money unless I get at least something back. And Upside is the perfect opportunity to do that. It's an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. So since it's football season, I'm on the road a lot, whether I'm going to LSU games or I live in Nashville. So if I'm traveling to Knoxville for Tennessee games, I'm in my car a lot. I'm doing a lot of driving. So I'm filling up my gas tank a lot. So I use the Upside app to be able to get some of that cash back on my road trips. So to get started, download the free Upside app, use my promo code LOCKED, LOCKED, and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's easy. I know filling up my tank, way more than $10. So next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit card or debit card, and then you get paid. It's that easy. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Plus, Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's crazy. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So download the free Upside app and use promo code LOCKED to get $5 or more back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code LOCKED. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube as well. So if you like to listen to the podcast, you can also watch it. Just search Locked On LSU in the YouTube search bar and hit that subscribe button, and you'll get notified as soon as Locked On LSU drops. So you won't miss a single second of your Locked On LSU content. But I got into my offensive game balls, my special teams game balls. Now I want to look at the defensive game balls, because this was probably the most difficult one. I'm tempted to give a defensive game ball to the entire defense. I mean, the defensive performance that LSU put up on Saturday was really impressive. And of course, I understand it was New Mexico. It was a team that in 2021 had one of the worst defenses in all of college football, and they're averaging about 20-something points a game. It's not an incredibly high-powered offense, and it's not an offense that necessarily scares you. But LSU's defense did the job that they had to do. They shut them out. They limited New Mexico to just 2 first downs, 88 yards. That was a shutdown performance. So I it's my show. I can do what I want. I'm giving the entire defense a defensive game ball, but I'll highlight 2 players in particular, because Jack Bernard Converse got the game ball from Brian Kelly. So I can't not, you know, mention him in my own game balls. And he got the game ball because he filled in that safety position, a position that he had not played since his sophomore year at Oklahoma State, because LSU was so thin at the safety position. Of course, they get Joe Fouché back after he was academically ineligible for the first 4 games because some of his transfers, his credits rather, didn't transfer over from Arkansas. So they'll have Joe Fouché at least back in that safety position. But LSU on Saturday against New Mexico was without Major Burns and without Joe Fouché. So Jarek Bernard Converse was able to fill in that position and define, you know, that next man up mentality. He filled in a position that he probably isn't incredibly comfortable with, and he had a pretty solid day. He filled in that safety spot very well. He had 3 tackles on the day. So, you know, props to Jarek Bernard Converse for being able to step up and fill in and deliver. And I think my second defensive game ball has to go, or highlight, goes to Harold Perkins, and he's a player that I talk about almost every week, and it's for good reason. It's because Harold Perkins is incredibly impressive, not just for a true freshman, but period. Harold Perkins, it continues to make plays. Harold Perkins continues to prove how versatile he truly is. He can play in the front 4. He can play in the front 7. He can play on the outside. He can set the edge. He can also play on the inside and stop the run. Harold Perkins does not look like a true freshman. I say that he kind of outplays his age, and I stand by that. But Brian Kelly was asked about Harold Perkins and how he's coming along and how they are bringing him along, what this coaching staff is doing to kind of facilitate his growth and his adjustment into college ball. And this is what Brian Kelly had to say.
Here's the thing with Harold. He's going to flash because of his skill set. I mean, he is twitchy. He is fast. He has all of those tools that are going to allow him to show. And then Matt's doing a great job of keeping it in the easiest form within the defense, we can't give him, he's just gotten here. So to give him the entire playbook is not fair to him. So Matt's given him pieces of the playbook that allows him to go play fast because that's his best trait. But he's learning, and he's, I'll tell you what, he's so coachable. That's the great part about it. He comes to the sideline. He wants to know what he needs to do better each and every snap. So we're really pleased with his progress. But I think what we're more pleased with is what he's doing off the field, in the classroom, and then how coachable he is.
So kind of giving him the playbook in chunks, not throwing a bunch of, you know, things at him, not throwing the entire defensive scheme at him, but just bringing him along slowly. It's working. Whatever they're doing with Harold Perkins, it's working. He has that God-given talent. You know, he has the size, he has the athleticism, and he has the football IQ to be able to recognize what offenses are doing and to continue to make plays. But LSU is also bringing him along nicely, and they're making sure that he has a good grasp on this defensive scheme without feeling overwhelmed. So Harold Perkins, he led the team in tackles with 7 on Saturday. He gets another defensive game ball along with the rest of the defense, but he gets an extra one. So Jarek Bernard-Converse and Harold Perkins were two players on this defense that I think really stood out and really shined. And honestly, those two continue to stand out and continue to shine. But I think this LSU defense proved against New Mexico, and they continue to prove week after week, that this is going to be one of the top defenses in college football. Not even just in the SEC, but I think in college football, the front four is able to get pressure on the quarterback. You know, the front seven, they're able to stop the run. Of course, the secondary continues to grow week over week. And that was a position group that I was pretty nervous about going into the season, to be completely honest with you. I was worried about the depth. And the depth became even more of a concern with the injuries that have kind of stricken this LSU secondary. But they continue to make plays, and they continue to just fill guys in those areas. So coming up next, that's exactly what I want to get into, is how LSU is overcoming these injuries, how Brian Kelly is approaching it, and how they've been able to be a little bit more creative with the personnel to be able to accommodate for some of those holes and for some of the injuries. So I want to get into that coming up next after a couple words from our sponsors. So kind of looking ahead at this upcoming week, it's Auburn week, and coming up with this really difficult month ahead that LSU is facing. So what I want to get into on the next podcast is just what October looks like for LSU. But before we get into that, LSU is dealing with a little bit of an injury bug problem. We saw Jaden Daniels leave the New Mexico game early. We saw Garrett Nussmeier come in, and he looked much improved. We saw Garrett Nussmeier take care of the football. He delivered a touchdown to Brian Thomas. So, you know, it was good to see him, but LSU is dealing with a little bit of an injury problem. We saw Brian Thomas in addition to Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Armani Goodman. They were all injured in the New Mexico game at some point. So what exactly is LSU doing to fill in those holes? Not just from injury, and that'll continue to happen. Unfortunately, that's something that will strike every team in college football. But also we saw some ineligibility issues, exactly why Jarek Bernard-Converse had to fill in a position that he wasn't comfortable with, probably, was because Joe Fouché was ineligible, and also earlier on in the season with John Emery Jr. Ineligible for the first few games of the season. So with eligibility issues and injuries and all these other reasons that might leave players out of games, what exactly is the game plan? This is what Brian Kelly had to say about that.
Just considering, you know, you're switching guys, Jay Ward and Greg Brooks, and you've had guys out with injuries. Now Joe's back this week. I mean, what has the challenge been, or maybe not at all, of just kind of the constant movement in that back end?
You would like a little bit more continuity. I think Matt, Carey have done a really good job of communicating what we need to do back there. And I think it's going to be a little bit easier, you know, with a Joe Fouché in terms of, he's an experienced player. So it was a little bit more difficult when we had to move Jarek back there because you didn't have an experienced safety. So, you know, as we move forward now with Jay Ward probably coming back this week and being healthy and getting Joe, you've got experience back there. So in one instance, you would like a little bit more continuity. But on the positive side, with Brooks, Fouché, and Jay Ward, you've got experience.
So with that being said, let's get a little bit of an injury update because Brian Kelly provided us with one. First and foremost, Jaden Daniels.
Jaden, no residual effect from Saturday. He'll be able to practice.
Which is great to hear. It's great to hear your starting quarterback should be back in 100%. And also, good. You never want to see a player get hurt, but good that it happened in the New Mexico game where the lead was comfortable enough to put Garrett Nussmeier in the game and for him to be able to not just hold the lead and maintain the lead, but to add to the lead as well. So that was a good thing. Also, Armani Goodwin and Jay Ward, safety who was also out against New Mexico. What's their status?
Jay Ward feeling really good. I think he's a go for Tuesday. We'll probably limit his workload on Tuesday, but he should be able to go. Amani, it'll be a day-to-day situation with him.
And one thing that just came out not too long ago is that Garrett Dellinger broke his hand against New Mexico, so he likely will not be available against Auburn. Brian Kelly said at first we thought that we could get him ready, but now I would say that he's doubtful for Saturday. He had a plate and a screw inserted in his hand, which doesn't sound like that would be a couple days turnaround in my opinion by any means, but he'll likely be out of the Auburn game. Hopefully should be back against Tennessee, but that puts this offensive line in kind of a difficult spot just because it's been shaken up so much already. And we finally saw a little bit of consistency in week 3 and week 4 for Garrett Dellinger in that left guard position. But this is likely how it's going to go down. So we had Emory Jones, Garrett Dellinger, Charles Turner, Miles Frazier, and Will Campbell. That was your starting 5 on the offensive line against Mississippi State and also against New Mexico. So we are going to see Miles Frazier move from right guard to left guard, a spot that's open with Garrett Dellinger's injury. And we'll see Tremont Shorts and Anthony Bradford kind of battle it out for that right guard position throughout the week. So that's what we'll continue to monitor throughout the week is who will fill in that guard position. The good thing is there are at least enough bodies in the offensive line room to fill in a guard position, and guard is a much easier position to fill in rather than center or tackle. You don't want to see any players get hurt, but if you're going to have a time in October, Auburn is hopefully, likely your easiest opponent in October, and guard is usually your easiest position. And on this team with so many bodies, it's going to be the easiest position to fill. So hate to see that happen. Hate to see LSU be down a guy, especially on a offensive line that needs to start gaining chemistry. But I would say right now is as opportune as a time as ever if it's going to happen in the month of October. So those are injury updates. Coming up in tomorrow's podcast, I want to take a look around the rest of the SEC and what does LSU's October look like? What can we expect from this really difficult stretch that LSU finds itself in coming down the next few weeks? We'll get into that on tomorrow's podcast. But you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen.